Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us and is right here with us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? We are punished justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Amen, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. During the season of Lent, we have been looking at various ironies of the Passion. That is, things that were done or said that in connection with Jesus' suffering and death that were ironic. And the definition that we've been using for this series is this: a result that is the opposite of what might be expected. A result that is the opposite of what might be expected. If you look closely at today's text, you'll notice that a few phrases from our sermon text could be seen as ironic. They would at least fit that definition. And one of those phrases that we'll focus on are the words of the second criminal mentioned in our text when he said to Jesus, when he says, do you not fear God? Those words are ironic. They're actually shocking. This is definitely a result that is the complete opposite of what might be expected. This man and the other man who was crucified with Jesus are called criminals by Luke in our text. We're not told exactly what they were accused of. We don't know what their crimes were, but the Greek word that's used here implies not only that they were robbers, that they had been stealing, but also implies violence, perhaps even murder. That Greek word used can be translated criminal, evildoer, even villain. So these men appear to be habitual offenders. They were there because they deserved it. They deserved the death penalty on that cross. And if either of these men had feared God, they wouldn't have been living the way that they were living. They wouldn't have been there in that situation, hanging on that cross for their crimes. In fact, it's pretty obvious, not only did these men not fear God or His laws, by their criminal behavior, they showed they didn't even fear man's laws to begin with either. What was not surprising, what was not ironic in the slightest, were the words of that first criminal. He clearly did not fear God. He did not believe in the one who was being crucified right next to him, crucified for this man's crimes and all of his sins. In verse 39, we read, "One of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.'" And you might have noticed in the reading today that the words of Matthew and Mark are also included. Matthew and Mark tell us that at first, both of these criminals initially mocked Jesus in this way. Everyone did. These criminals were mocking and echoing the words of the chief priests, the religious leaders, the soldiers, and even the people who just passed by Jesus. They were mocking him with similar words. Matthew 27 tells us, "People who passed by kept insulting him and shaking their heads. They were saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" In the verses that come just before our sermon text, we read this. The rulers were ridiculing him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also made fun of him. Coming up to him, they offered him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Do you notice the great irony here? Jesus was, in fact, the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the chosen one of God. He was the Son of God himself, true God. And so, yes, he obviously had power to be able to come down off of that cross and save himself. But the reason he didn't proved that he was who he said he was. It proved that he was the Savior of the world. The reason he didn't come down from the cross was to save sinners like these men who were dying on the cross next to him. To save the religious leaders who were mocking him. To save the soldiers and the people passing by who were making fun of him. To save you and me, who also need saving from our sins. And that's when something more than just ironic happened. Something truly miraculous happened. The second criminal in our text says, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? We are punished justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Where on earth did that question come from? When did this man come to this realization? Where did that realization of this come from? Where did this change of heart in this second criminal come from? And what's truly miraculous and shocking is that this isn't everything the criminal confessed. He goes on in our text to say those incredible words of faith and trust in Jesus, words that many people throughout the centuries have treasured. And many people I know have said, "These are my favorite words in the entirety of Scripture." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He trusted in Jesus to take him to heaven when this horrible experience was over. And remember, this experience was because of this man's own doing. There is an extra level of guilt and shame and pain when he knew he did this to himself. So how did this man come to know his Savior and make this confession? Well, you can point to a number of things. You can point to the fact that most Jews were raised with some religious instruction. You could point to the fact that Jesus was probably the most famous man in Israel during his 3 years of his ministry. So this man probably heard about what Jesus was teaching, maybe even went and saw him preach at some point in his life. We can also point to the fact that he would have heard Jesus speak to the people on his way to Calvary. He would have heard him asking God to forgive the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. But it appears as if up until this moment, none of that had really, truly sunk in. But now, in his last moments, as he's hanging there on the cross, the Holy Spirit worked through the gospel that perhaps he had heard in the synagogue, or in the stories he heard about Jesus, or in the preaching of Jesus himself during his ministry, or in the words that Jesus spoke to and on the cross. And through that gospel, the Holy Spirit reached into this man's heart and gave him faith right there while he was dying on his own cross. God has done the very same thing for you and for me. Come on, Pastor, that seems a bit like a forced comparison, really. When we look at this dying man who is on the cross paying for his crimes, for his sins, robbery, violence, and murder, do we really, really see ourselves there? Do you see yourself in the account of this criminal on the cross next to Jesus? Do I see myself there? Or do we think, "I'm really not the kind of sinner that he was. I'm really not that bad." The sad truth is, we are. We are all sinners from birth. And the Bible truth is that God does not grade our sins on a curve. He does not rank sins as being some not so bad. No. A sin is a sin is a sin in God's eyes. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And I hate to tell you, that doesn't just mean death on some torture device like a cross. It doesn't just mean physical death. The Bible is referring there to every kind of death, which means also eternal death. So even if we've managed to keep from murdering anyone, we've all hated someone, we've all said and done things that hurt others, sometimes very deeply. Even though we've maybe never stolen anything physically, have you ever been lazy at work? Ever not put your best effort into your work? Have you ever been jealous, envious of other people? Ever resented the fact that God has given to others much more, it seems, than He has given to you? To God, those sins of our heart are just as evil as those sins that people actually act out. And according to God's law, we are just as guilty as these men who are on the cross. We deserve the same death and the same hell that they deserved. And so when we look into our hearts, when we look at our own lives, we should be saying the same thing this second criminal said. Don't you even fear God? We are under the same condemnation. We are punished justly, for we're receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong. I sometimes say, thank God for the but of the gospel. And here is one of those, right? But this man has done nothing wrong. That is the good news. Just like that criminal who's hanging on the cross, Jesus is right here with us. Jesus has done nothing wrong. That's good news for you and me, because that means He kept every single one of God's holy laws perfectly. Every act, every word, even every thought, perfect. And He did it so that His righteousness would cover us and cover our many sins. And like that criminal, we can turn to Jesus' cross. And we can look to Him. We can see Jesus on that cross for us. And He has been every bit as gracious and as generous to us as He was to that criminal. Jesus on that cross paid for all of our hatred and murder. He paid for all of our lust, our greed, and our robbery. He paid for all of our jealousy and our gossip, for our addictions and our shame. On that cross, He paid for all of our sin. His blood washed it all away. Jesus promises us what He promised that criminal who reached out to Him in faith. Verse 43 says, Jesus said to him, Amen, which means truly, or as I like to tell my confirmation students, Amen means yes with an exclamation point. Yes, today you will be with me in paradise. You want to talk about some miraculous irony? This result is the complete opposite of what might be expected for the criminal on the cross and for us. Not today you will be with me in prison, or today you'll be with me in hell. Just the fact that Jesus says you will be with me in paradise, in heaven. Praise God. That same Holy Spirit who worked through that same gospel to give that very same faith in our Savior that the criminal had, He works that in us. No one who knew that criminal would have expected him to make this confession. And no one who truly understands just how sinful our hearts are would have expected such a confession out of us either. But God does miracles. By His grace, He takes sinners like us and turns us from criminals against His law to His own dear children. Like that criminal on the cross, we can turn and look to Jesus on His cross and trust Him now and always. He and He alone is the reason that we, yes, even we, will be with Him in paradise. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.